even if they take into consideration the events of the last 2 weeks, Israel is the aggressor. Israel went into the Al-Aqsa Mosque and beat up worshipers during the holiest holiday for Muslims. Israel is expelling citizens from the neighborhood of Sheikh Jarrah. Israel is the one who is backing up Jewish settlers who are running around in East Jerusalem and elsewhere saying death to Arabs, and we're burning Arabs today. Israel is the one that is causing displacement, dispossession, home demolitions, you name it. That is the aggressor. That's not somebody defending itself. The responses to these actions by Israel are resistance. Resistance is legal under international law in whatever form the resistors wish to take.
So, I mean, speaking of international law, at the United Nations Security Council, just in the past week, the United States 3 times blocked a statement which called for a ceasefire. Everyone else in the UN Security Council was in favor of it. But the United States blocked it because of language that would have condemned Israel's actions. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I call the veto power in the United Nations Security Council, I call it the tyranny of the veto, because, of course, pretty much world public opinion is on the side of the Palestinians right now. It's a very, very small percentage of people who actually support what Israel is doing. For the United States to block any language supporting a ceasefire is a form of tyranny. And it's also, once again, it's criminally sadistic, in my view. We're talking about an action right now that has led to the deaths of 213 people in the Gaza Strip, 61 of them children, 35 approximately of women. More children have died in Gaza than Hamas fighters. There is something terribly wrong with that. It's all completely against international law because the Gaza Strip is illegally occupied by Israel. That's as plain and as clear as day for anyone who wishes to read international law.
So, I mean, what does that say when, in the middle of all this, the Biden administration, they just approved a new weapons sale to Israel worth $735 million just on Monday, May 17th?
It's my understanding is that it was approved slightly earlier than that. That doesn't change the fact that they are approving more military aid to Israel on top of $3.8 billion of aid every year. And it is in direct contravention of what is called the Leahy Law in the U.S. Congress, which says that it's illegal to give military aid to any country using it to violate the human rights and the civil rights of another people. And of course, this aid is not only violating people's rights, it's murdering them outright.
You know, I think it's extremely sobering what you just said, that more children have died than Hamas fighters. I mean, this is astonishing.
14 families have been wiped out in the Gaza Strip in the last week. 14 entire families. They'll no longer appear on the civil record. That is hard for anyone to imagine, but it is just, it's indescribable to imagine that many people, that many family units just disappearing under the rubble of a bombardment that is so completely illegal and so aggressive, such as it's a crime of evil. I can't think of another word for it.
And just lastly, I wanted to ask you what your thoughts are on the motivations behind this, on the Likud party. I mean, do you think that perhaps this is something to do with what's happening internally in Israel with Netanyahu? Do you think there's some ulterior motive that's going on here and not just Hamas, like they claimed?
I do. I think there are two parallel things happening right now. I think the greater goal of Israel is for a greater Israel. It is to have a nation that has no Palestinians in it. It is to isolate Palestinians in the West Bank into 165 disconnected enclaves. That is without doubt. It's a form of ethnic cleansing. Some people have actually started to call this a genocide. At the same time, Netanyahu will do absolutely anything to stay in power, to avoid going to prison. He's a corrupt politician. He's an unethical politician. And, you know, the words to describe somebody like him who is so so utterly criminal and without any conscience whatsoever. I mean, he's psychopathic, and his actions, I think, display this. He doesn't care about the deaths of people in the Gaza Strip or the West Bank, or for that matter, in Israel. He doesn't care. He cares about power, and that is something that we should all be very sober about when analyzing this situation.
As Israel continues to bomb Gaza, protests in support of Palestine have erupted all across the world. In London alone, an impressive 100,000 people took to the streets in a show of solidarity. Protesters marched onto the Israeli embassy in London, demanding an end to the Israeli violence, chanting, "Free Palestine," and "Israel is a terror state." A petition on the British government's own website calling on the UK to impose sanctions on Israel received over 300,000 signatures. This means the matter could potentially be raised and discussed in the House of Commons, as the British Parliament usually considers bringing up petitions for debate if they reach a minimum of 100,000 signatures. In France, several protests were held across many cities in support of Palestine. However, a large gathering that was planned in Paris was banned. People still showed up regardless to express their support, but were met with water cannons and tear gas from the French police. In Lebanon and Jordan, dozens of people went to their respective borders with occupied Palestine in an attempt to storm them and cross over. And in another remarkable show of solidarity, Italian dock workers at the port of Livorno refused to load weapons and explosives that were headed for the Israeli occupation, stating that they would not be an accomplice in the massacre of the Palestinian people. All around the world, people continued to show support for Palestine with large protests in several cities across Canada, Germany, and cities all across the world, such as Warsaw, New York, Cape Town, Madrid, Sydney, and many more. Popular support for Palestine is real. It is widespread. It is international, and it is powerful. And although many governments do not reflect the will of their people, the average person does know right from wrong. And they're starting to see through the whitewashing of Israeli crimes and apartheid. It is undeniable that public opinion is shifting, and it's shifting in the right direction. It's shifting in support for Palestine. On May 18th, 2021, a general strike was held to protest Israel's crimes in Palestine, and participation was at record levels, with millions of Palestinians taking part from the West Bank to Gaza to Jerusalem to Haifa, Ramallah, Bethlehem, and many more. Shops were closed, people took to the streets, and they marched in protest of Israel's ruthless bombings, of their plans to evict people in Sheikh Jarrah, and all of the occupation in its entirety. Once again, the death toll in Gaza speaks for itself. The bombed out hospitals, clinics, schools, shelters, roads speak for themselves. What Israel is doing is not just horrific, it is evil. No sane or rational person can look at this and call this defense. This is not defense. This is offense. This is aggression. This is a violent, calculated destruction of public infrastructure. It's a massacring of the Palestinian people. Almost one third of the casualties are children. Are they also Hamas fighters? Israel has 10 casualties versus hundreds on the Palestinian side. You cannot inflict 10 times, 20 times more casualties on someone smaller and weaker than you and then pretend that you are the victim. And we constantly hear that Israel has the right to defend itself. Really? What about Palestinians? Palestinians don't have the right to defend themselves when they are being massacred. Palestinians don't have the right to defend themselves from Israeli bombs. Palestinians don't have the right to defend themselves from Israeli occupation. You want us to believe that Palestinians are a threat when they don't even have an air force, a navy, or any conventional armed forces? Israel kills 10 times more people. Israel drops bombs on hospitals, roads, schools. It kills journalists, medics. It levels the buildings of the international press. And you want us to believe that that's defensive and that Palestinians are the problem? You cannot talk about defense when you are in a position of power and you are the aggressor, when you are occupying and colonizing someone else's land. Israel is not a victim, nor is it acting out of self-defense. The Israelis are colonizers. It is the Palestinians who are defending themselves. The Palestinians are resisting Israeli occupation. They're defending themselves and their land from colonizers. This is why Israel tries so hard to smear those who expose its crimes, to character assassinate them, and shift the conversation away from its ethnic cleansing of Palestine and its brutal military occupation, and make it about personal smears. The Israeli lobby spends an awful lot of time and energy waging war against those critical of the Zionist regime. The mainstream media is more than happy to cover for them, and this is why we cannot allow what is happening in Gaza, what has been happening in Palestine for the last 73 years, to be whitewashed and erased by them. Despite the overwhelming support and backing of the West for Israel, people must never be afraid to document Israel's crimes and to expose the true nature of the Zionist regime. The support for Palestine is fundamentally rooted in the defense of human rights, in anti-imperialism, anti-racism, and their cause is a just and noble one. Palestinians need all the support they can get, and we will give it to them. Thanks for tuning in, and long live the resistance. I'm Richard Medhurst, and this is The Communique.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O you who believe, اِسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, now we invite you to listen to a speech by Sheikh Hamza Sodagian.
I'd like to congratulate all believers, especially the believers in Quds al-Sharif, in the occupied lands in Gaza, and above all, the Mujahideen, both in the West Bank and also in Gaza, each of them in their own way. Hamas, Jihad al-Islami, the individuals that were active in the West Bank for this accomplishment, alhamdulillah. There was a time that the Zionist regime would decide whatever it wants to do in Masjid al-Aqsa or in Quds. And because of the wrong that some have done, and they will be responsible on the Day of Judgment and held accountable for doing that, causing the believers in the West Bank not to be armed, not to have the means to fight. Because of that, the Zionists would plan and execute, and there was little that could be done. And the believers in Gaza, although they would want to be more active, they again did not have the means. With the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the support of the Islamic Republic, the unity of the resistance, the connection between the believers throughout the Muslim world, and above all, the assistance of the Islamic Republic, the government of Muqawama, the believers in Gaza now have the means. And alhamdulillah, it was a difficult battle. All the shuhada on the side of the Palestinians, every person who lost their lives is a shaheed. قُلْ هَلْ تَرَبَّصُونَ بِنَا إِلَّا إِحْدَى الْحُسْنَيَيْنِ There's one of two things that will happen for those who were martyred. They met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best state possible, and those who remained accomplished and saw the victory in this world. So while we are not happy about the number of people that have lost their lives, but we are happy about their resistance, about their unwavering willpower not to give in and to allow the Zionist regime to take more areas in Jerusalem, Al-Quds al-Sharif, and cause issues in Al-Masjid al-Aqsa. We are very thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this unity, this brotherhood that He has brought to the Muslimin, where they work together from whatever sect and school of thought they are. They understand the words of the Prophet that anyone who says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, is a Muslim, and you should all be one hand against those who oppose you. We thank Allah for allowing us to live at a time where Shia and Sunni did not look at one saying Ashhadu anna Aliyan waliyullah or one not saying Ashhadu anna Aliyan waliyullah, and they listened to what the Prophet said. He said, whoever says Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, whether they choose to say Ashhadu anna Aliyan waliyullah, that does not cause them to be outside of Islam just because they said Ashhadu anna Aliyan waliyullah. and those who choose not to say Ashhadu anna Aliyan Waliyullah, although based on the evidence it is something to say and something to believe, yet if they choose not to say it according to the Prophet, if they're saying Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, we should form one hand. It was one hand of the Ummah of the Prophet that was able to slap the Zionists and not allow them to continue with their aggression and to accomplish what they had set out to accomplish. It's that one hand, the unity. The brothers and sisters in Gaza uniting, and the leaders of Hamas and Jihad al-Islami seeing this line from the Prophet, believing in it, uniting with those who say Ashhadu anna Aliyan Waliyullah, the Shia in the Islamic Republic and in Lebanon, and the Shia in Lebanon and in the Islamic Republic and in Iraq and in Yemen, wherever they're at, they gave whatever they could. And that unity, that formation of one hand against the transgressors and oppressors, is what has caused us this great victory. I don't know those of you who have read and heard, alhamdulillah, those who haven't, the Zionists were forced to. They withdrew from their plans earlier, the plans that they had for Sheikh Jarrah or Jarrah in Jerusalem, that area they were trying to confiscate the lands and take the homes and so on and so forth. They had to withdraw with that because of the efforts of the believers, and they had to withdraw from their plans for Al-Quds al-Sharif. And those had already happened with the attacks that Jihad al-Islami and Hamas, along with the believers in the West Bank and the various cities, all those shuhada, or great shuhada, all the people who resisted, their involvement. Those from Syria and Lebanon, we heard on and off news that they engaged in that. I don't know how true that was. We don't know. We haven't heard it be verified. There are some signs of truth, but they're still not verified. Can't be certain. But whoever joined, in whatever capacity, in providing the preparations for any war that will happen, and otherwise, whatever way they helped, that led to the believers being prepared and engaging in battle. When they started attacking those areas and confiscating, the international media, the American media, the British media, the CNNs and Fox Newses and BBCs and Sky Newses and everything, all these different outlets governed and controlled by the Zionists one way or another, make it seem like what the Zionists did in Quds is, it's not wrong, but firing rockets is wrong. All aggressions start with the Zionists, with their very existence. Don't be distracted by that. Anyhow, with the response that the Muqawama gave from Gaza and from the West Bank, the believers, the young men and women who engaged in that resistance, especially in Al-Quds al-Sharif where it started, but also those who joined from other cities in the West Bank and also from Gaza, they stopped those first two. But then the Zionist regime started attacking Gaza, bombing it. Over 200 shuhada we had, a good number of them women and children. Families lost their children, families lost their mothers, families lost their spouses, husbands lost their wives, women lost their husbands. But they were not willing to give up on the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They continued all the pressure. If Hamas and Jihad al-Islami would have stopped firing those rockets, what would have happened would have been that it would have signaled to the Zionists that, oh, these people are not willing to take hardship. So that would give them the message that they need to start bombing harder. They need to start killing more people. Because if they kill more people, that's going to cause the muqawama, the believers, the Palestinians, to withdraw. when they are firm and steadfast as they did, they continued towards the end of that time before the ceasefire from the Israeli side, they had to engage in that, meaning they had to stop their firing towards Gaza, because they knew, obviously, the believers in Gaza, if you stop your aggressions, we're not going to continue with our response. We started firing because you all started confiscating lands, doing things in Masjid al-Aqsa. You started the aggression. If you stop that aggression, it goes back to status quo, then there's not going to be any firing back. But they were being threatened, and there were people amongst Muslimin, there were people amongst Arab leaders, there were people throughout the world that were signaling to the Palestinians that you should withdraw, you should stop firing in order for it to stop. That would have been a defeat and a very, very significant blow at the Muqawama if they had withdrawn, if they had started the siege, if they had stopped firing. Because again, that would have signaled to the Zionists that if you kill more of us, then we are going to move back.
Every day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا، ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth. I invite you to listen to a short part of chapter 9 of the book Sirru Salat, The Secret of Prayer by Imam Khomeini. General Secrets and Disciplines of the Adhan and Iqama. The pious by himself is congregation, and if he looks after this congregation according to each pious, he gains blessing and perhaps through the Allah's help gains some secrets. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And if he does not care and some wrongs which happen in such process, he will be considered one of the hypocrites. He not only has spoiled his own salah, rather has spoiled the followers' angels. Because Imam is responsible for his followers, moreover, he is the carrier of marginal conditions thereabout.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Today we are with another episode of Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini. I'm your host Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi. Today we have another saying from Imam Khomeini, and in this saying Imam Khomeini has said that we must try to break down the walls of ignorance and superstition so that we can arrive at the limpid fountain of the pure Muhammadan Islam. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that هَذَا بَيَانٌ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُدًى وَمَوْعِذَةٌ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This Quran is a clear statement. هَذَا بَيَانٌ لِلنَّاسِ. This is a clear statement for the mankind. وَهُدًى وَمَوْعِذَةً لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And it has the guidance and the admonition, but for the muttaqeen, the God-weary ones, ignorance takes us away from being the God-weary, from taqwa. Ignorance does not allow us to become a muttaqi or having a taqwa. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says that the guidance which is in the Quran and the admonition in the Quran, the guidance in the Quran, the admonition in the Quran, it is all for those who are God-weary. Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. In the second chapter, second verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Mim, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهُ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, guidance for the muttaqeen, for the God-weary ones. Therefore, we need to first be God-weary. We first need to have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We first need to do everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we do that, then there is a guidance for us. Generally, people take a wrong meaning of taqwa. They think like praying and fasting or giving charities is only taqwa. This is not the name of taqwa. These are the basics for taqwa. In order to have a taqwa, these are the basics. A person who prays on time, a person who fasts in the month of Ramadan, a person who gives charities, and he lives according to the rulings of Islam, these are the real basics. These are the first steps towards taqwa. The one who have all these things, and if he adds fear of Allah in it, and if he adds doing everything for the sake of Allah into it, then we can call him, we might call him a muttaqi. We might call him a person who is God-weary, who has the fear of God. Therefore, we need to be very much careful in our deeds and get rid of this ignorance. And this can be done only by reading the Quran. This can be done by knowing the message of God, knowing the message of God and the explanation that is given by Ahlul Bayt, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
إِلَّا Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Answering the doubts and questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman? Allah, who is Al-Mannan? La ilaha illallah.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear audience of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. Today our guest is Hujjatul Islam Sayyid Mohsen Naqavi, who is an Islamic scholar from Hoze Elmiye of Qom. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
It's my pleasure. Well, today's question is somehow a bit, I think, controversial. What is fundamentalism? And should every Muslim be fundamental? Well, as you may know, I think this notion is mostly preached by Wahhabis. Do you agree? And now, if you agree, let's talk more about that.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the definition of the Islamic fundamentalism, it is said that a movement of Muslims who are of the view that Muslim majority countries should return to the fundamentals of an Islamic state, which truly shows the essence of the system of Islam in terms of its social, political, economic system. And obviously, what they do is they mean a literal and originalist interpretation of the primary sources of Quran and Sunnah.
The primary sources.
They say, for example, if in the Quran or in the Sunnah, it is said that the things which have come, for example, if in the Sunnah and the Quran we see that the Prophet used to travel by camel. The original.
Now we have to travel by camel too.
You cannot travel on the car.
Really?
Or train or plane. Now, there is a interesting thing about them, like these fundamentalism who basically talk like this, is that whenever it's about the things which they need to enjoy or they need to use, they use those things, but for the rest it is forbidden. For example, you know, ISIS was from one of the fundamentalist thinkers. Well, according to their original religious thoughts, they should use only swords to fight and arrows, not the guns and missiles and all those, the cars. But they're using them.
Do they know themselves as fundamentalists?
Yeah, they do believe themselves as a fundamentalist. Mm. Wahhabis are all like, they believe that. For example, if you have wear a pant shirt, for example, like the trouser and the shirt, the way we wear like in the West or the other countries have like pant coat, a dress band and a coat, they criticize that. And they say you should wear the clothes which Prophet used to have or the Arabs used to have at that time. But on the other hand, we see like they're eating food with the spoon and the plates and the glass. They're using these tools as well, which is for the modern world.
Yeah.
So there is a contradiction, obviously, in their sayings. Yes.
Of course.
Generally, what happens is they generally refer to the beliefs, that in the beliefs and in the rulings, Islamic rulings, we should refer back to the original source and do as it is said in the Quran and the Sunnah.
Can they be called retrogrades?
They can be. The main point is that the time changes, the culture changes,
yes.
And for example, we can say like things that were at the time of the Prophet Musa alayhi salam was not at the prior time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi
wasallam. Yeah, you should be the son of your time, actually. Yes.
We need to see the time, we need to see the environment, because Islam is till Qiyamah. It is not to take us back to something, it is to take us forward.
Forward, yeah.
And Quran also talks about advancing, and when Allah has given us the intellect, it means that using this intellect, using the basic rules of Quran and Sunnah, we need to go forward. In Islam, every single school, its original source of ruling and beliefs are the Quran and Sunnah.
That's
that
right.
is for sure.
Yeah.
That is for sure.
Even but the appearance Islam, maybe might change. Yeah.
In the Shia Islam is the same. For example, let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
Citation of moon for the first of the month, for example, if it's Ramadan or Eid,
they or have the end of month, actually. The end of the month, like
for the, yeah, the end of the month for the next month. So there is a rule of citation of the moon.
Uh-huh.
Now, the rule in the Quran and Sunnah, it is said like you should see moon by your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You should see by yourself. Now, we have two groups within the scholars. Some say you can see it with the naked eye. You should see it. And you cannot use any means.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Technology.
Yeah, technology or anything. So when they say naked eye, they say you cannot use the technology, telescope or anything.
Yeah.
There is another group who says that, yes, the rule is to see the moon. You are seeing the moon. You mm-hmm. are the one who goes and searches the moon.
Uh-huh.
But you can use the telescope because yeah. it is not telescope that is seeing the moon. It's yeah. your
eye. It's just an apparatus.
Yeah. It is just a tool. It's yeah. a mean. Okay. The way, you know, those whose eyesight is weak, they put like glasses on.
Mm-hmm.
They put glasses or goggles on. So similarly, this is a mean to help you to see yes. it properly.
That's
so
right.
their argument is that you can use the telescope, but obviously, on the other hand, the main rule which was in the Quran and Sunnah that you should see, it is you who is trying to see and find the moon in yeah. the sky. It's not the telescope. Telescope is a mean.
Yeah.
So we have these two groups yes. in different places, but the Wahhabis are the extremist in this matter. And
what do they say?
Pardon me?
What do they say, actually? Do they believe to one of these two groups or not?
No. They have their own. Like, for example, in Saudi Arabia, they have the calendar. They made that calendar in the beginning of the year, and they mm-hmm. follow their own calendar.
Uh-huh.
It's neither this one nor that one.
Uh-huh. They don't try to actually look for the moon.
And then later when they find, like, it happened many times. There was an announcement by King Salman and the one before him. King Salman, yeah. Many times, like, you know, when they found out, like, the
second day of their
Eid, when they were celebrating Eid, it uh-huh. was like the 30th of, for example, Ramadan. So they announced that we will give the kafara for whole
Easily.
Nation. Yeah. So it is from the money of nation, and they're giving for the nation. This is not the right thing. So we witnessed all these things in the history
mm-hmm.
that they have these kinds of beliefs. But the main point is when they're talking about the Quran and Sunnah and going back to the Quran and Sunnah, we need to remember that the time is advancing. There are changes in the world. Obviously, the technology has evolved.
Uh-huh.
And the Quran and Sunnah even comes and tells us to, use the advanced technology
uh-huh.
in support of religion.
In support of religion.
Religion.
You know, at the service of actually
yes,
religion.
At the service
Everything
of
should be at the service of religion to actually improve it.
To improve it. And the more the science is advancing, the more the religious, you know, we can say ideas are becoming clear.
Uh-huh.
For people. Mm-hmm. For example, this Big Bang theory, obviously
yeah.
through a mathematical calculation, they reached to the Big Bang theory. And they said there was a Big Bang, and after that explosion, that
yeah.
bang.
And the world was created.
Yes, the world was created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran that we have created heavens and the earth
in
with an explosion.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Allah also says, وَفَتَقْنَا, if I can just bring the verse, it's in the Quran, Allah clearly says, for example, it's chapter Anbiya, verse 30, for our listeners. أَوَلَمْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, don't you see those who disbelieved, أَنَّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, that the skies and the heaven, كَانَتَا, both of them.
The skies and the earth.
The skies, سَمَاوَات.
Mm-hmm. And the earth.
And the earth.
Mm-hmm.
There is one earth and many skies.
Yeah.
Kanata, they both like ratqan, they both were one.
Uh-huh.
They both were joined.
Uh-huh.
They were as one piece.
Fafataqnahuma,
mm-hmm. it is us who separated them through an explosion.
Uh-huh. Then there was an explosion, actually.
Yes. Fataqna, we separated this,
uh-huh.
these skies and earth. It was one piece and we separated it. Wajalna min al-ma'i kulla shayin hay. mm-hmm. and we created everything. We give life to everything through with water. Now, today science says like every living thing is because of water. Water is the main, water. Yes, contains water. The main essence of that living thing is water.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is no water, then it cannot be
alive.
أَفَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ Don't you believe? Now, this is the Quran. Quran has said it like many years ago. The Prophet has come. Allah has said it and almost 1,400 years ago. This was in the Quran, and today science, when it says and it explains about the thing like every living thing has a water in it, the main essence of living life is water, mm-hmm. and there was a big bang and all those. So science is actually a support. It's in the service of the Islam and the Quran.
Not actually contradict.
Yes. If we have that kind of thinking, which is especially like the fundamentalists that say like you should just literally follow the verses of the Quran and the Sunnah, the time when Prophet
and
was
stick
there.
To the actually stick to the appearance. Yes.
So basically they are, they couldn't understand Quran.
Mm-hmm.
They neither understand Quran nor the Sunnah of the Prophet.
Uh-huh.
They're ignorant, totally ignorant. And I don't know, if they're doing this purposely, they're answerable. If it is unpurposely, may Allah give them the guidance
Inshallah.
So that they can come to the right path. Because sometimes, you know, people do it unintentionally.
Uh-huh.
But there are some who does it intentionally. And also the discussion that we have in Islam, for example, the discussion of fuqaha, the maraji' mujtahideen, or even the muftis like in Ahl Sunnah who give fatwa, mm-hmm. they're also like the main sources, Quran and Sunnah.
Yes.
And according to that, they look in the world what can be done and like the situations, and then they give the fatwa.
Mm-hmm.
For example, cloning for the human beings are haram. It's according to the Quran and Sunnah.
That's right.
The rulings that they had. So according to those rulings, they have come and they give a ruling for this time. And that's what the scholar or the mufti or mujtahid should do, because he has studied all these things. And according to the narrations that we have, these are the representatives of the imam of the time, maraji or mujtahideen, especially in Shia Islam. They are the representative of the imam of the time who is infallible. And they need to obviously take people towards perfection. You know, the main duty of, let's say like this, the main duty of the prophet
yes.
and the imams were mm-hmm. to take people towards perfection.
That's right.
Okay. Because they themselves were perfect human beings, which we uh-huh. refer to insani kamil.
And they have to guide us actually
yes,
towards
they have to guide us. When they are in absence, for example, Imam of the time is in absence in occultation,
yes.
it is now duty of the maraji to perform that
duty
actually. Which they had to take uh-huh. these people towards perfection
mm-hmm.
by using the Quran Sunnah
yes.
and the Ahadith.
And actually extracting
Ahsan,
modern
extracting
rule.
The main rule. No, it's not
modern
na,
rules,
it's yeah. not something modern.
Uh-huh.
The main rule is there. For example, I said the rule of citation of moon, uh-huh. the rule is rule. Like
yes.
you need to see the moon.
Yes.
That's the main thing.
Uh-huh.
The methods are different.
Yes. This is the point, actually.
You know, what's mm-hmm. happening in the modern world, the main rule is according to the Quran and Sunnah, uh-huh. that you must see moon by yourself mm-hmm. with your eyes.
Yes.
Now, what's this technology this maraji and the mujtahideen are doing? They are saying that you will see it, but the method is different.
Yes.
Previously, we did not have telescope, for example. Mm-hmm. Now we have.
Now we can make use of science.
Yeah.
At obviously. The service of religion, as you said.
Yes. And you know that the moon cannot be seen if it is not, if the moon is not having the birth, it cannot be seen,
mm-hmm.
even with the telescope.
Yes.
So we need to use these science for being like at the service of the religion. And through this, we can advance. And that is why the religion is, you know, it says like la ikraha, there is no force in the religion. It's because when the circumstances changes, if the main rule is held on its own, the methods can be found, like it can be like the things can be done with different ways, and the different methods can be used in
Maybe
order
we can
to
say we
something.
adapt actually the main rules
with today's situations?
Yes, because every year the situation is changing. Everyone has different way of, everyone has different situation, for example, in his life. So the science is at the service of Islam, and these people who are fundamentalist, like Wahhabis, they are totally doing wrong, and they are showing the wrong picture, even not the picture of Islam that we have at the time of even Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Yes.
For example, in the time of the Prophet, even the things that were at the time of Prophet. Prophet, if he was at this time, he would
change actually maybe the way he did things.
So yeah, it's always according to the circumstance.
Well, actually, as you said, then he rode camels, and now maybe he did something else.
Yeah, he will travel with the means that we have in the world at the moment. Mm-hmm. For example, just a quick example, that if it was the matter of camels, then Prophet Suleiman, his ark or ship used to fly.
Yeah.
Bismillah wa majreha.
Yeah.
With this wording, mm-hmm, he used to make the ship or the tool on which, like the thing which he was using for traveling, he used to fly.
Yes.
So ship is for the water, not for flying. Mm-hmm. So we need to, inshallah, ponder.
Yeah, ponder upon the issues actually. Thank you, dear brother Naghavi, and thank you, dear audience, for staying with us. Well, in this episode, we talked about Islamic fundamentalism, and Brother Naghavi actually elaborated this notion to us that this is basically wrong, and Islam is an active religion, and the Islamic jurisprudence is actually active. Okay, thank you, dear Hujjatul Islam Mohsen Naghavi. We enjoyed a lot, and it was a beneficial discussion. And thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio, for staying with us. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, don't forget to email us at englishradio@irib.ir and visit our website, that is parstoday.com. And don't forget to visit our pages on Instagram and YouTube. Just search Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
إن في الجنة نهر اللبن إن في الجنة نهر اللبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهر اللبن إن في الجنة نهراً من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا حب أهل البيت فرض عندنا وبهذا الحب لا نخشى المحن.
This is for a better life. For a better life.
فرمود بعثتُ لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق.
The Holy Prophet of Islam says, "I have been sent to complete noble manners."
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to For a Better Life with me, Javed Akbari. Well, in the previous episode, we talked about a roadmap which the Quran provides every human being, every obedient human being, every individual. As I said, there are two groups of people. One group of people is rebellious. They rebel against God, and the other group of people is fearful. They fear to stand before their Lord. They are those people who, because of fear of Allah, do not commit any sins. So there are two groups of people. Some are rebellious and some are obedient. And of course, as for those people who are rebellious, their abode is the hellfire. And as for those people who are obedient and who protect their souls, who care for their souls, their abode is the Jannah, the paradise. And I also said that God has given us the capacity to tell the difference between right and wrong, and between truth and falsehood. And of course, we have not been left wandering on a crossroad. Never. لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى. Of course, قد تبين الرشد من الغي. The right is clearly distinguished from wrong. The truth is clear from the falsehood. That's what the Quran says. And of course, as I said, we are not here to explain or to interpret the verses of the Quran. Of course, I'm trying to give you some ideas into what the religious teachings are about a better life. Because at the end of the day, we are going to go to the next world. Our eternal abode is the next world, of course. So when we speak about life, the real life is not this world, the life we live in this world. The real life begins in the afterworld. And so we have to prepare ourselves for the real life, for that eternal abode. And that's why the Quran says, قَدْ تَبَيَّنَ الرُّشْدُ مِنَ الْغَيَةِ. Of course, the right has been clarified and distinguished from the wrong, the truth from the falsehood, of course. And we as human beings have the volition, the faculty of reason. Of course, every individual has been gifted with the faculty of reason. And that is the best capacity, the most important capacity, the most important faculty that distinguishes man from other animals, from other creatures, from other animate beings. The right path is clear from the wrong one, of course. Allah does not force anyone to follow the right path. And He does not compel anyone to traverse the right path. There's no doubt about it. لا إكراه في الدين. There's no compulsion in religion. If Allah were to force human beings, what would be the meaning of justice? Justice would have been meaningless. If He were to force every individual to follow the right path, then hell and heaven, hell and paradise would be meaningless. Resurrection would have no meaning, because we are compelled, we are like ants, like other creatures who act on instincts. That's not the case with human beings. Of course, human beings have the willpower, the volition, and that makes us different from other animals, from other creatures.
Changed the desert into oases. We built buildings of different lengths and sizes, and we felt so very satisfied. We bought and bought and couldn't stop buying. We gave charity to the poor, cause we couldn't stand the crying. We thought we paid our dues, but in fact, to ourselves we're just lying. Oh, I'm walking with my head lowered in shame for my place. I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. I'm walking with my head lowered in shame for my place. I'm walking with my head lowered for my race. Yes, it's easy to blame everything on the West, when in fact our focus should be on ourselves. Is it satisfied? Is Allah satisfied? Is Allah satisfied?
We are intelligent. We are a volitional creature. We have free will. And these are the two main characteristics that man has. There is a saying, I remember there is a saying from the commander of faithful Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, who says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَصَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ بِالْأَقْلِ دُونَ الشَّهْوَةِ وَالْغَضَبِ وَخَصَّ الْحَيْوَانَاتِ بِهِمَا دُونَهُ وَلَكِنْ شَرَّفَ الْإِنسَانِ. The hadith is lengthy, but because some of our audience may not make sense of the hadith, I would like to just explain, to give the concept of the hadith. Based on this hadith, God has clarified everything for us. He has clarified the road for us, which leads to either hell or heaven. Both roads are clear, and there's nothing in this map ambiguous or murky or dark. Everything has been clarified meticulously by Allah. When you open the map, Allah says, these two entrances lead to either the hellfire or to paradise. Allah says in the verse which I recited, Allah says, "Tagha, tagha, wa athar al-hayat ad-dunya." So these are two major highways that leads to the hellfire. Tagha, persistently, willfully rebelling and transgressing against Allah. And of course, a person who rebels against God and who transgresses the bounds, the limits prescribed by Allah, then of course his eternal abode is the hellfire. And of course, the saying from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, in Allah khassal malaikata bil aql duna shahwati wal ghadab, God the Almighty has distinguished the angels with reason. It means that the angels have reason only, have intellect, aql. Duna shahwati wal ghadab, they do not have lust and they do not have wrath. Ghadab means anger. The angels do not become angry. The angels do not have lust. وَخَصَّ الْحَيْوَانَاتِ بِهِمَا, and God distinguished the animals, the quadruped, the beasts, with shahwa and ghadab. You know, the animals have lust and they have anger. These two faculties are there. But وَلَكِنْ شَرَّفَ الْإِنسَانِ, God honored human being by giving human being both the faculty of reason and shahwa and ghadab, both of them. You can see man has the power, the faculty of reason, and he has lust, he has anger, he becomes angry. Inshallah, we will carry on this discussion in the following episode. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Your love is all I need. Soul I need. Soul I need. All I need. Oh, oh, oh.
Your love is all I need. To be all soul I need. And I know that you see how much you mean to me. You mean to me, 'cause your love is all I need, to be all I can be, and I know that you see how much you mean to me.
Your love is all I need.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is Viewpoints, an analysis on the thoughts and the speeches of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. I'm Atan, the host of this program. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, Brother Ali Alevian and Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi, two Islamic scholars from the Islamic House of Qom. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome, brother. And brother Ali, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting me here.
On different occasions, Supreme Leader of Iran refers to a very important concept, you know, the consequences of which is ruling the world today, and that is the separation of religion and politics, or it's better to say the separation of religion from the government and the authorities and the states in the world. It means that the people who are running the countries put religion